Good morning. Welcome to our time of worship and a time of fellowship with God and with one another. So it's good to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Anybody remember what the weather was like on May 7th, 1989? A few weeks ago in my sermon, I asked if anybody knew where they were on February 22nd, 1980. And that was the night that the USA men's hockey team defeated Russia in the Olympics. And so one of you wonderful people checked out their records, and I have a picture that is on the back. It says, Sunday, May 7th, 1989, 34 years ago, 8/10 of snow fell on May 7th. So do you want your picture back, Mr. Man? So sometimes people listen to what I say in a sermon, but I don't ever know if it's the right thing or not. But 34 years ago, there was snow, so it could have been a little colder. Pay attention, please, to the back of the bulletin and the concerns. We'll add a few. Steve Walker had ankle surgery on Friday. That all went well, but he's facing 4 to 6 weeks of non-weight-bearing recovery. He texted me between services, so I just texted him, patience, because we all have patience. If you've not heard, I am having total knee replacement surgery this Thursday at Fulton County with Dr. McKernan, and I was told this morning the first week is the toughest, and after that I'll be dancing. I never danced before, so I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I will technically be on medical leave through June 9th or 10th, but I will be here on the 21st for rite of confirmation, a few other things, but Pastor Ryan and Jocelyn and everybody else will take the load while I'm out, so I would appreciate your prayers for that on Thursday. And we have Adam Swisher from the Mission Committee.
Good morning. The mission month for May is a Cherry Street mission. The Cherry Street mission works to provide access to every opportunity that an individual may need to move towards a life of health and wholeness. Services that are provided include a men's and women's shelter, emergency food and clothing services, workforce development, transitional housing, medical respite programming, community sustainability, and one-on-one resource navigation. You can assist Cherry Street Mission by volunteering, praying, material donations of needed items, which is located on their website, or monetary donations. For more information, you can visit their website, cherrystreetmission.org.
Our opening scripture today comes from Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." And this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Let us open with a word of prayer. Dear God, we come to worship you today. We come to sing to you, pray to you, and listen to you. Lord, we know that you always hear us. So yes, we ask that you would help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In December, we sang, "Worship Christ, the newborn King." Today, we can rise as we are able and sing number 225 in the hymnal, "Worship Christ, the risen King."
Friends.
Isaiah 1 says, "Come now, let us settle the matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." We read together the prayer of confession found in the bulletin and on the screen. Lord, you showed us true humility by becoming one of us.
Yet too often we practice pride.
You loved those who were weak, despised, or cast out.
Yet too often we love those who are strong, respected, or popular.
You freely forgave and healed.
Yet too often we hold grudges and cause pain.
You lived a perfectly holy life.
Yet too often we do not yearn for righteousness.
You were mocked, whipped, and even killed for us.
Yet too often we deny you. Forgive us, Lord, so that we will shine with your glory. Amen.
Hear the good news. In the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we are assured there is no sin too terrible that the Lord cannot forgive, and no hurt so terrible that the Lord cannot heal. God accepts, God forgives, and God sets free. So receive the healing forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
A responsive hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." You can find the words on the screen. The fourth verse we'll sing a cappella.
Because our Redeemer lives, we have peace. So greet each other now in the peace of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
I invite any children to come forward for a children's message. Play-Doh? Have you ever played with Play-Doh before?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit over here and even things out a little bit. I said even, not eat, even things out. I think that's what he caught. Have you ever played with Play-Doh? Nobody? Okay. Have you ever done Play-Doh? All right. What do you do with Play-Doh, Ryan?
Not eat.
You don't eat it. I've never eaten Play-Doh. I've eaten lots of dirt, but I've never eaten Play-Doh. What do you do with Play-Doh? What do you do with it? You make stuff. I can make a hammer. I can make a car. Well, I could make a shape of a hammer. I couldn't necessarily hammer a nail with it.
Oh, you could make a road.
You could make a road. I could flatten this out. Like a roller machine. Yeah. Does your dad have one of those?
No.
No. Wow. I can make like a ring. Can you make a ring? I'm not very good with Play-Doh.
Oh, you could.
Here's a really fat ring.
You could actually cut it.
Does that work?
No.
You have to make it a lot.
Maybe this is a donut. Because you know why I made a donut? Because then I could eat the Play-Doh. Just thought I'd go back there. Okay. Play-Doh. In Isaiah 64:8, and in the reading we have from Romans 9, they talk about God being the potter. And a potter works with Play-Doh, or a potter works with clay, and they shape things. They make pots, they make dishes. We've bought lots of candles, oil candles from Souder Village, but the potter, or you, whenever you're playing with clay or Play-Doh, you get to make whatever you want to make. Well, think about God as the potter. God has made each of you. God has made all of us. And you know the wonder about God being the potter? He makes us all unique. Believe it or not, there is only one Ryan Kinsman in the world. There is only one Ryan Chrisman in the world. And fortunately, that's true too, but I had to catch myself. And yet, here is Pastor Ryan. We have lots of Ryans. But you're each unique.
I have a cousin Ryan.
You have a cousin Ryan? And he's different from you.
Yeah, he's older.
We have sisters, we have brothers, and you're all unique. And you are who God made you to be. You are special. Hi there. And you are special too. Thanks for coming up. God made you all with your hair, with your eyes. With some of you can sing, some of you might be able to play piano, some of you like to help around the house, some of you don't want to do anything at the house. Some of you are pretty good with math, others of you are learning how to read really well. Some of you are love and kindness, and some of you like cause problems. But God made you who you are because He is the potter and we are the clay. And we have to find the goodness in everyone that God has made. So value who you are. You are precious in God's sight. And continue to let the potter shape your life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these precious children. And we pray that we as a church would continue to live the faith and to be lights of faith to them as they grow. For you indeed are the potter of each one of us, a great creator, and we give you all praise and thanks. Amen.
If you were here last Sunday, we started a video series. We're still in the season of Easter, but after the resurrection moment. So what happens after Easter? Looking at the book of Acts, today we'll look at the next few chapters, and this is the initial mission, global mission movement, all coming from very unexpected places. So we'll sit back and watch a few minutes of this video.
During the first century, when the Romans ruled the known world, a grassroots countercultural movement was born in the eastern end of the empire.
Yeah, it started among the Jewish people,
who for centuries now have been scattered around the known world.
But no matter where they lived or what language they spoke, they kept their identity as the family of Abraham, devoted to the one true God.
And every year, they would travel to Jerusalem for sacred festivals. And during one of these, the Feast of Pentecost, the visitors encountered a group of Jews who could somehow speak in everyone's native dialect.
Yeah, they were telling stories about a man named Jesus who had been executed by the Romans. They claimed he had risen from the dead and was now exalted as the true king of Israel and the whole world. And this Jesus was now calling people to adopt his upside-down set of values and live under his rule called the Kingdom of God.
And thousands of Jews decided to stay in Jerusalem and join the movement. It grew in size and in influence and gained favor with people.
But not with the Jerusalem temple leaders. They viewed this whole thing as a dangerous religious sect, and they even executed one of its leaders named Stephen.
It's no longer safe in Jerusalem, and so most of the followers flee for the outlying land called Judea.
And you might think that's the end of the story, but actually, this tragedy became the way the movement spread outside Jerusalem. That's where the second part of the book of Acts begins.
The scattered followers end up in surprising places, like Samaria, where their ancient enemies live.
Yeah, and Luke shows us how all of these unexpected people start following Jesus, like a sorcerer from Samaria who has to learn that the way of Jesus isn't about gaining power, but giving it up to serve others.
There's also a story about an Ethiopian delegate who, after discussing the scroll of the prophet Isaiah with Philip, decides to join the movement.
Yeah, Jesus is expanding his movement out into Judea and Samaria, just like he said he would.
Which is great.
But back in Jerusalem, meets Saul of Tarsus. He's part of the religious elite who oppose the new movement, and he's finding and arresting Jesus' followers anywhere he can.
This is a cruel guy.
But think about it from his perspective. In the past, Israel had turned away to other gods and to false prophets, leading to disaster. He believed he was protecting Israel and God's honor by getting rid of these people.
And then Saul hears that the movement spread north to Damascus. So he sets out there to find and arrest more followers.
And on the way, Saul has this sudden encounter with the risen Jesus himself. Jesus asks Saul why he's fighting against him. And then Jesus commissioned Saul to now represent him to Israel and to the nations.
And Saul is stunned and speechless.
And so he ends up in Damascus, but now he's announcing the good news about the Jesus he had just been attacking.
And no one saw this coming.
Totally. And the same goes for what happened next. Over in the port city of Caesarea, there was a Roman centurion named Cornelius, and he represents everything the Jewish people would hate about the Roman occupation.
An angel appears to him, and he tells him to call for a man named Peter. So Peter comes, and he finds Cornelius and his friends and his family all gathered together in his home.
Yeah, and this is scandalous. Jewish people don't enter a non-Jewish home to avoid ritual impurity.
So what's Peter gonna do?
Well, right before this, Peter had a vision. God brought to him a collection of animals that his people were forbidden to eat. And then God said to Peter, "Eat these."
And this is shocking to Peter. He says, "I've never eaten anything impure."
And God responds, "Don't call impure what I have made pure." And then that's it. The vision was over.
So Peter's gonna start a new diet?
No, he's an Israelite, and he's honored these customary food laws his entire life. The vision was preparing him for this moment of him standing among impure non-Israelites. And he realizes that God is declaring these people are a part of the family of Abraham.
And so Peter decides to stay and tell them about Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit shows up just as he did at Pentecost. But now it's for a Roman centurion and his non-Jewish family.
The movement is broken out.
And so back in Jerusalem, Peter is now telling the other apostles about what happened, and they start getting reports about even more non-Jewish people following Jesus up in the big trade city north called Antioch. So they send a man there named Barnabas to check things out.
Barnabas finds the Jesus movement alive and well in Antioch, and he finds it's made up of people from all over the world.
And so Barnabas recruits Saul to come and work with him in Antioch for a year. They're teaching, living among the people there, watching the movement grow.
The church in Antioch was the first international Jesus community, and it is where Jesus' followers were first called Christians, the Christ ones.
And so the way of Jesus was transformed from a group of Messianic Jews in Jerusalem into the multi-ethnic Jesus movement spreading through the world. Their faith was the same. It was centered on the good news about the crucified Jesus, who is the King of all nations.
But that message and their new way of life was confusing, even threatening, to the average Roman citizen living around them.
And the resulting conflict is what we'll explore next as this movement goes global, or as Jesus said, to the ends of the earth.
Like I said last week, we're watching these videos building up to our celebration of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, how this story is really the beginning of our story, right? We're just continuing this story. So these are things to think about as we go through this week and as we go through the weeks ahead. Next week, we'll look at mostly Paul's mission really taking it out to the ends of the earth.